Week one in the books. Week two on the way. You have the Bengals hold on against the Baltimore Ravens Thursday night in Cincinnati, and it's a juicy slate across the board. Rivalry week here in New York. You got the Giants trying to avoid 0-2, taking on Dallas trying to avoid 0-2. And who would have thunk it? The Jets and the Dolphins both trying to get to 2-0 to start this year. Now, this guy had a terrific week one. He was muy caliente. Let's see if he can keep the good vibes going. The Spread Investor, James Alberino. Check him out, thespreadinvestor.com. Spread, my boy, how you doing?
Jay, good morning, sir. Let's keep it rolling for week two. What
Spread,
do you say?
That's the idea, my friend. That's the idea. And quick hit here on this Thursday night game. I had the Bengals, full disclosure. Didn't love the game, but anytime you have a Thursday night on the road, I just feel like you have to seize that opportunity, especially when Baltimore the week prior is basically taking on a team that is an absolute mess and, at least for now, profiles as one of, if not the worst team in the league. So I'm curious, any surprise with what you saw here between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens?
I'm not too surprised at the result. I did think Baltimore would look better. I didn't bet the game personally, even though I've been high on Baltimore. If you followed me on Twitter all summer, you know I'm high on Baltimore. But I did think this was a tough spot for them. They do not play well in Cincinnati. They're 2-8 now. Their last 10 games versus Cincinnati. I thought that Baltimore's defense would show a little bit more. I thought Andy Dalton did whatever he wanted. And if you didn't get a chance to watch the game and you just look at the box scores, Dalton's yardage numbers were way lower than Flacco, but don't be fooled. Andy Dalton played a terrific game, and I thought the Bengals were really on point.
Now, Spread, the one thing I always think you got to be mindful of, after week one is usually very tricky, and you're not exactly sure what you're dealing with a lot of these teams. In some cases, you are. In other cases, you're not. As far as the overreactions, to me, this is a very sharp week to be on top of things, because certain teams, after what you saw in week one, are maybe going to be overvalued in certain places. Do you get the sense that you could really strike in week two because of that?
I think you could. I think there's a couple of games, there's a handful of them, where the spreads moved almost a field goal or a little bit more than a field goal from the opening number prior to week two. I think if you're on top of which teams won in a blowout, you could circle the overvalued teams. If you look at teams that lost in a blowout, maybe you circle some undervalued teams. Definitely, definitely a true statement, though, for week two.
Well, Spread, I'm going to try and stay on that theme, because I look at the New York Jets, as impressive as they were in week one, and I liked them with the points. I thought they'd be competitive. I thought they had a good chance to beat the Detroit Lions. I never expected that, okay? Full disclosure, Spread. I never expected
the
bloodbath that we saw out at Ford Field. And now I look at this line in a division game against Miami. The line basically on Monday was Miami by 1 or 1.5. The Jets throttled Detroit. Now the line is 3. You're seeing a little market correction. It's down to 2.5 in some places. Do you look at the Jets as one of those teams going into week two that's very overvalued?
Yes, and that doesn't mean that they're going to lose in week two. It just means on paper, before the game, before you think about betting it, 100% they're overvalued. This was a pick 'em or Miami minus one before the games were played last week. Now everyone watches the blowout on Monday Night Football, and you got the Jets laying a field goal to open things up. Not only that, this is a bad spot, too, for a quote-unquote overvalued team. You got them traveling on a short week. You got them winning in blowout fashion, a young squad like that. And you don't know how they're going to handle all that New York love, I'll call it, on their flight back into LaGuardia or wherever the hell they landed. It's just not a great spot. And by the book, Miami would be the lean. The Jets, you know, unfortunately, in New York here may be a little bit too pricey.
Spend a couple minutes with our good pal, James Alberino, the Spread Investor. Check him out on Twitter, @SpreadInvestor, getting you ready for week two. And Spread, did you ever think we'd be going into week two with the Jets and the Dolphins, and they're trying to get to 2-0 to start this year? And then you look at the Giants and the Cowboys on Sunday night, and you got both of these teams, you know, basically trying to avoid 0-2.
Oh, you must be loving it, huh?
I'm not loving the Giant 0-2 dynamic. I mean, I have no dog in the fight there. Am I loving the fact, Spread, that, yes, the Dolphins will come to town with a chance to go 2-0, and I relish in this idea that everybody's drinking the Jet Kool-Aid. And don't get me wrong, Spread. I'm very bullish on them long term. I'm very high on Sam Darnold. I think they got players on that defense. And I want to see how well they're going to be coached throughout this year. But I think the Jets got a bright future. And I like their GM a ton in Mike Maccagnan. But this is a tough spot for them. And on the flip side here, Spread, the Giants going down to Dallas. Giant defense did what we expected them to do against Jacksonville. But when you look at this Giant offense, how much of their bad week was a byproduct of Jacksonville's defense? Or is it the issues on the offensive line going to plague them throughout the course of this year?
I think a combination of both. The problems on the right side of the line are absolutely real. Ereck Flowers is a liability at tackle. And from the center all the way to the right tackle, there's concern. So a little bit of Jacksonville's defense, a little bit of Giants are going to have lingering issues. I thought Eli did well, though, considering all things. Got the ball out of his hands quick, found Odell. And I think the Giants have to generate more of a pass rush. That's the issue, is that we just let Blake Bortles have way more time than he should have. And you got to like the fight that the Giants showed, though. They stayed in that game completely, but the new coach, new system, and there's going to be a little bit of adjusting, and the talent isn't fully complete with the Giants on both sides.
Now, Spread, I look at the Dallas offense, and I thought it was so underwhelming last week. And
horrible.
I get it. Carolina is one of the better defenses in the league. But I look on the outside. I mean, where are the playmakers for the Dallas Cowboys? And I think if the Giants somehow, some way, can keep Eli Manning upright in this game, I see a lot of value with the Giants getting 3 points in a place, historically speaking, they usually play pretty well in.
I like the Giants as a lean. Not sure if I'm betting it yet, but yeah, you're right on. The Giants defense against the Cowboys offensive line, as crazy as that sounds, the Cowboy offensive line did not play the way you expected, and that's partially because Travis Frederick's out and you got Joe Looney in a center. But the Giants could get to Dak in this game, and the Cowboys were relying on Mike Gallup, their rookie wide receiver. Beat reporters out of Dallas were saying he was going to be the surprise. He had one catch for 9 yards last week. So I don't know where Dallas is going to really generate any sort of offense. I don't know how Dallas is going to move the ball. I lean to the Giants getting the points, but my stronger play is under 42 in this game. I don't know how either offense is really going to move the ball consistently. I think this one stays low. Giants are 7-1 to the under their last eight, and the under has hit 4 times in a row in this series.
Spread, if you go back to week 1, one of the biggest surprises was the New Orleans Saints getting throttled defensively for 48 points against the ageless wonder Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yes, I think we all had, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick being the quarterback fantasy leader for the first, you know, games of this year. But here we are, and the Saints are now 0-1, and they get ready for the Cleveland Browns. How much legitimate concern would you have this week? The Saints are still a pretty significant favorite against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland competitive against Pittsburgh. But that same defense a mess. Is that a one-week anomaly, or would you look at the next couple weeks and have legitimate cause for concern with that unit?
Here's my thought with the Saints. It has nothing to do with talent on the defensive side of the ball. They've got basically the same talent that carried them on the defensive side last year. They actually added some more. I put this out on Twitter last week to stay away from the Saints until further notice for this reason, and I can't prove it. Nobody could prove it, but this is my theory until something else tells me otherwise. Last year, when you end a playoff series, when you end the season the way that the Saints defense did, giving up that ridiculous Hail Mary to the Vikings, that's a heartbreaker. And a lot of people will say, yeah, a hangover doesn't carry over for 7 months, but there is a strong trend for Super Bowl teams that don't perform, that lose and don't perform well to start the year. And yes, the Saints weren't in the Super Bowl, but it's basically the same effect where they ended on a heartbreaker, ended in such a tough way. Maybe that defense needs to play a couple of games together and get that confidence, get that swagger and that trust back. You don't know what happened chemistry-wise after something like that. Super Bowl was on the line in that game. So everyone's on the Saints this week. I'm not betting it the same way I didn't bet last week. Look, I'm not running to the window to lay 10 points in the NFL. Could the Saints cover and prove me wrong on this call right now? Yeah, absolutely. But I'd just rather wait and see how the Saints come together. I don't want to see Drew Brees have to throw the ball 55 times. They were at best last year when he was just high percentage passes, not needing to take the team back from 14 points down every game. So wait and see. Don't load up on a team again who just lost you your money last week.
James Alberino, Spread Investor. Check him out, thespreadinvestor.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Spread Investor. And Spread, the game I'm looking forward to the most, aside from, of course, the Jets and the Finns, is the AFC Championship rematch between New England and Jacksonville. Now, Fournette's injury in the Giant game last week is a big concern because Jacksonville without Leonard Fournette, I mean, they just don't have the weapons offensively. However, New England didn't do a whole lot in that second half. A lot of mistakes by the Houston Texans. And we know that Jacksonville defensively had a lot of success against that Patriot team in the first half, wore down in the second half. What is your biggest key for New England here if they're going to find a way to get to 2-0 and beat this high-powered top five defense in the league?
I think New England's got to bring the same intensity on defense that they just played against the Texans with. New England's defense looked stronger last week than they have in a long time. And if they can limit the Jaguars' offense, which isn't impossible to do, especially if Fournette and his hamstrings bothered, and they can create short field position for Tom Brady, I'll take my chances with Tom Brady figuring out a way. I don't care who the defense is. If you give Brady, you know, the ball at his own 35 on average on most possessions, I think Brady will figure it out. I think New England, despite the lack of wide receiver depth, could potentially be a better team this year. I didn't believe in Patricia, what he was doing last year. They started out defensively horrible this year. The defensive pass rush, how they hit and control the line of scrimmage, that'll determine the game.
Spread, then you look at Atlanta, who had the gut-wrenching loss. I mean, it was a flashback to me and you celebrating the Eagles in the divisional round. How beautiful was that? And how beautiful it was to have the Eagles in week one. But now you look at Atlanta. Extra time to prepare, which I always like. Taking on Carolina, who won. Historically speaking, Atlanta usually plays pretty well in their own building against the Carolina Panthers. But for an offense that can't finish drives and struggles to score when they get in the red zone, how good do you feel about laying 5.5 points in this spot?
It's tough to lay it after watching that Thursday night game, but I have less concerns because they're a little bit better in the red zone at home. Last year, they scored touchdowns on just 44% of drives in the red zone on the road. Take that at home, that number bumps up 12%. 56% of drives in the red zone, they scored a touchdown at home. So they're a little bit better at home in the red zone. What I like about this game in Atlanta's spot is Carolina's secondary is not very strong, and not many people would know that because they weren't tested last week by the Cowboys offense. I think the Falcons can control the line of scrimmage because Carolina's offensive line right now is a little bit banged up, especially at tackle. And the injuries to Keanu Neal and Deion Jones for Atlanta are major concerns, and that is what's driving some people away from betting Atlanta. But if the line of scrimmage is controlled by Atlanta up front, I like Atlanta to pressure Cam Newton. Cam Newton and the Panthers. Panthers are 2-8 the last 10 years in Atlanta. Atlanta's 9-1 straight up and against the spread, their last 10 home openers. I think Matt Ryan will find Julio Jones, spread the ball around, and the defense will do just enough. I like Atlanta covering it.
All right, Spread. Then you have a Detroit team that could not have looked any worse than they did on Monday night against the New York Jets. Short week on the road, going to the Bay Area to take on Garoppolo, that fired up Niner team that is well coached by Kyle Shanahan. Now, a lot of times I look at these spots when you get embarrassed on a Monday night, I like to take you the following week. But I got to be honest, I thought San Fran distinguished themselves pretty well against Minnesota in what's a brutal spot on the road, tough environment, you name it. I look at this game, this could be a telltale sign that the Lions are going to be in for a very long year if they're going to struggle and not compete against the 49ers. What's your take on the Niners and the Detroit Lions?
I agree with you. I'm not one to overreact to one bad week, but I do smell smoke in the Lions organization. I think there's some issues there. There were concerns and bad reports about Patricia in the offseason that are now starting to crystallize and make a little bit of sense. Reports out of training camp that he was grinding these guys like this was 1985 football. And a lot of negative, you're doing this wrong, not pumping guys up. And Mike Garofalo actually reported this, that an agent for one of the Lions players said, not surprised that this team got blown out after the way they were coached in the offseason. So, look, could they right the ship and could this be a week one issue? Yeah, no doubt. There's just too many things going on in that organization right now that lead me to believe this organization could sink a little bit quicker than a lot of other teams that'll start slow. Their defense is atrocious right now. They have concerns at middle linebacker. Their secondary has holes. Now their strength this year was supposed to be the offensive line. TJ Lang is hurt with a back injury this week. He's had lingering issues the entire offseason. I don't trust the Lions. I don't trust them on a short week going cross country now to pick things up and just rebound like that with a rookie head coach. I like the 49ers here, and what I love about the 49ers from last week, even though they lost, they put up a fight to the Vikings. They were a fumble on the goal line away from tying the game. And then when Jimmy G threw that pick six, the wide receiver on the 49ers slipped and fell down. If that doesn't happen, Minnesota doesn't go up as much as they did. I like San Francisco to beat up on a really bad defense that's traveling cross country. I think you lay the 5.5, 6, wherever the number is right now. And if Detroit goes down in this game, I'd be worried about them putting up for a fight for a coach that they're not exactly buying what he's selling.
Spread, it's time now for the best bets of the week. And you were muy caliente in week one. You had the Broncos. You had the Cincinnati Bengals. What are you looking at? What's in store for week two?
Well, I just ran through 49ers, one of my best bets. Falcons, I wouldn't rank as high as the 49ers, but Falcons I will be playing this weekend. But I'm going to talk about another one, and this falls somewhere in between the 49ers and Falcons in terms of how much I like it. I like the Patriots this week. And as good as Jacksonville's defense is, I'm not sold on them moving the ball continuously. Tom Brady's 11-3 against the spread as a favorite of 3 points or less lifetime. And I think New England's coming in this year with a chip on their shoulder. They played with a lot of energy last week. And I'm going to bet on their defense to just keep the consistency up. I don't see any slowing down whatsoever. And I think you'll get Tom Brady to move the ball around against the defense that's talking a little bit of smack from Jalen Ramsey's direction.
Our good pal, our Vegas insider, James Alberino, the Spread Investor. Follow him on Twitter, @SpreadInvestor. Spread, fantastic job. Have a wonderful week, too. And hopefully we will continue to be in very good spirits, my friend.
Absolutely, Jay. Good luck on Sunday. We'll talk.
My pleasure. The good stuff there from James Alberino.